morning, everybody. I think we need to start early, and we'll be together for the rest of the week, members. Whether we like each other or we don't like each other, but we'll have to be together for the whole of this week, for almost 12 hours. I don't think we need to waste time, but maybe let's just try and talk about this VRR. What is this animal, VRR, which Urene is going to be telling us what animal are we looking at. We are portfolio committee, we are a portfolio committee of science and technology, which is part of the engine of parliament. And we are oversighting the development of science and technology. And now there's a new law that has been enacted. It's new, though it was not enacted this year. But it's still fairly new, and obviously there are things that are going to be learning from it as we go along, which we might have to amend. But it's giving Parliament some powers, because most of the time we do the oversight and we go around and we ask questions. But when we find that there are certain things that are not going on well, we leave it to the department to decide, specifically the political head, which is the minister, to correct those things. But more often than not, you find that most of the things that we recommend, they don't get done. Those recommendations, they gather dust and nothing happens. Now, to give some power to Parliament, there was this law that was passed in to see to it that if we find certain things that we think they're not going on well in our oversight, we should be able to amend the money bill. And this is why we came in, this law was enacted. Not only to do it because we've been doing oversight, but in trying to transform the departments to be in line what we think needs to be done in South Africa to make it a better South Africa. So this law is trying to do that, but as I said, it's a fairly new law, and obviously it's going to be something that is going to take some time before it gets grounded. Even now, we're going to be talking about it, and we're going to try and do whatever that we can do to make sure that the department moves that line. But one other thing that we mustn't forget is that we're fairly new to this department, even ourselves, but we've seen what our predecessors have been trying to do. And obviously we've got to couple it with their recommendations and see how far did they go with the recommendations that they had. In addition to that, as we're doing our oversight, we're not only going to use our own experience from our oversight, our talking to the department, our questioning the minister or whoever is relevant in the department, but we're going to be using other structures like the Auditor General, because they're actually doing the same type of job. We don't want a situation where we said there must be more money that goes to science and technology, only to find that they don't have enough muscle to chew it and metabolize it, and we're just dumping money into science and technology and it doesn't get used. So we want to use all the things that are available to us to tell us what is happening, where are the challenges, are they going to be able to use this money. Then we can actually say the money can be moved from, the Department of Science and Technology needs more money. But in needing more money, I think the fiscal is very constant. Now, there are many questions that one is asking. If we say there must be more money to the Department of Science and Technology, are we going to be stealing money from one area to the other? Or are we going to say, let's be more vigilant in looking at how the department is doing things, where there's been wastages, let that wastage be used, or where there's been corruption, let that corruption be toned down to a level that there's no problem. So we've got to be looking at the fiscus itself as to where can you manipulate. And having done that, when we interrogate the department, we've got to look at that as to how. And the other part that we need to look at, if the fiscus is constant, we've got to see how do we make money to handle most of the problem that the whole government has got, including the debts that it has to pay, including the global crisis that is happening in the whole world that is affecting us as South Africa. So those are the things that we need to look into. Be it that may, we're not going to be hampered by those things. If the department needs certain things to be done, we'll have to be creative and find out how we can do it. But we've got powers now to do that. As I've said, that it's a new law, we're going to be learning, I wanted to open up with those remarks. So the first person who's going to be presenting to us is René Osborne. She's just going to be telling us about this BRR, giving us more flesh to it. I don't know it that well myself, but she'll give us more flesh. So we'll give over to her. I know we don't need a quorum. As long as we've got one or two members, we'll move on. Some of those who are coming will join us on the way. So that is the situation, member. I'm not sure, I'm seeing a lot of new faces, whether they would need introduction. I think most of the people know most of us. It's only the three members that are sitting closer to me on my left that I don't know, that I've not seen. Maybe for your sake, let's just introduce the members of parliament. Who are the owners of this meeting? We've got Honorable Matale. We've got Honorable Annelise Lotre. So those are the two members that we've got. The others are the people that are working with us in the portfolio committee. They're assisting us. Osborne is actually our researcher. So she's going to be presenting to us this PR. I don't know who you are. Maybe you need to present to us so that we are sure that you're not informers. You're not going to take our information and take it somewhere else. Good morning, Lebo.
Good morning, Chair.
I've seen you today.
Yes.
Sitting next to Amanda there. I'm controlled by the three ladies. I'm given coconut. I'm controlled by three ladies. I don't like it that way, but they are controlling me. I can't do anything about them. There's a lady sitting there, Amanda Clay. She's the main controller of me. Then there's next to me, there's another one next to me. I hate her, but she's always there. Ushana, she's sitting next to me. And I've got Ulebu there, who's very troublesome, but all of them are controlling me. They don't fight with each other, but they fight with me. Okay, you can tell us who you are before we go on to Urene.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everyone. My name is Megan, and I'm from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good morning, my name is Sarita, and I'm shadowing Megan today.
Oh,
I'm a shadow.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everyone. My name is Mary. I'm also a shadow.
Okay, thank you, ladies. René, we're going to give over to you so that you can quickly tell us what's happening.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everybody. As the chairperson said, the Moneyball's Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act is a... is a fairly new act, and as Parliament we are still getting to grips with the powers that it affords committees in terms of what amendments they can make to Moneyball's. So the presentation today seeks to provide an overview of the Act, and hence I will highlight the key provisions of the Act. What is a budgetary review and recommendation report, what we call a BRR report, and then just the phases that the Act prescribes a committee has to go through should it wish to amend the budget of a national department. Moneyball's Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act. It provides Parliament with a procedure to amend Moneyball's, and as Chairperson said, it was to reinforce and to further enhance those recommendations that a committee makes to a department. It's to ensure follow through. It's to give them more strength and more weight. And it gives effect to Section 77, Subsection 3 of the Constitution, that states that Parliament must enact a procedure for it to amend money bills. So basically, this procedure states that each House of Parliament must establish a committee on finance and a committee on appropriations. And in the National Assembly, these committees are termed the Standing Committees on Finance and the Standing Committee on Appropriations. And in the National Council of Provinces, it is the Select Committee on Appropriations and the Select Committee on Finance. The Finance Committees have to consider and report to the House on the national macroeconomic and fiscal policies and any and all matters related to that policy. And the Appropriations Committee must consider and report on the spending issues and any amendments to how the budget is broken up between the different priorities of government and the bills attendant to these and any matters related to that. The second provision of the Act is that Parliament needed to establish a Parliamentary Budget Office. Now that has happened, and there are key staff in the Parliamentary Budget Office, but their capacity is still quite limited. And this, the main objective of the Budget Office is to provide Parliament with independent, objective, and professional advice and analyses on the budget and any other money bills. But due to the limited capacity of the Parliamentary Budget Office at the moment, they mostly only work with the Finance and Appropriations Committees. But they do attend to the needs of the other committees should they be formally requested to do so. So should this committee decide with its recommendations to make changes to the department's budget, we can present that to the Parliamentary Budget Office and ask them for further advice. And then lastly, one of the provisions is that all portfolio committees must compile a budgetary review and recommendation report that must be tabled in the National Assembly. And this report provides an overview of the department's use of the resources and the programs to which they allocate these resources. So in essence, the Moneyballs Act states that portfolio committees must annually assess the performance of each national department. And they must do this assessment by looking at the medium-term estimates of expenditure, the strategic priorities, and the objectives and the performance targets that the department sets itself and presents to Parliament when they present their annual performance plans and strategic plans. The committee must assess whether the performance of the department is in line with those strategic and annual performance plans. They must also look at how the department uses the resources allocated to it and look at how it plans to spend its money and whether they stick to that plan. And then they also need to look at the financial statements and the annual reports of the department, because that is where the AG has passed an opinion on how well they have managed their funds and have stuck to achieving their targets. And if any matter has arisen during the year that has had the Committee of Public Accounts to have a look at the department and scrutinize certain of its activities or programs further, the committee must take note of that. And any other information that the committee feels is relevant in terms of its oversight role in scrutinizing the performance of the department will be essential. So that performance assessment, and we know through our work, that happens throughout the year. That essentially we turn into a budgetary review and recommendation report. So it's a report that we produce now in October of every year, but it literally looks at the entire financial year's performance. So it looks at what has the department done in the past financial year. Are we happy with their performance? Do we feel that they need additional resources? And can we strongly substantiate that we recommend that they get these additional resources? And that is what the report will look. We're looking at the past to say they've done well enough or they've done poorly, hence we would like to see whether future allocation, the changes that we think will enhance the performance of the department. So the BRR really is a tool for the committee to answer the following questions. Did the department achieve its strategic objectives? Did they use their resources effectively and efficiently? Did we get value for money? Did we see a difference? What did that allocation, what did the resources buy for the department and for South Africa? And the priorities and the programs that were enforced or practiced by the department, do they require realignment? You know, can things be done better? So just to end off to say, the BRR reviews past performance to inform future use of resources, and the committee does this by making recommendations to the House and to National Treasury. And then just a further word on performance assessment, is that when the committee assesses performance, throughout the documents that we look at, the annual reports, the financial statements, the AG reports, SCOPA reports, oversight visits, the committee must please keep in mind as to whether the goals and objectives that the department has set fall in line with a SMART acronym, meaning were they specific, were they measurable, were they achievable, were they relevant, and were they time-bound? Because your recommendations would then speak to changing those things. A target wasn't measurable, it wasn't specific enough, or they measured the wrong things, or it was open-ended. Hence, it's not just about saying the department needs money, but the committee can also say, we felt that you didn't set adequate targets. You didn't specify them properly. They weren't time-bound. You can't measure something like this adequately. So it's quite an involved process. And that the indicators that measure performance must be well-defined, cost-effective, and relevant. Targets should also be SMART, and they should be consistent. When the committee needs to be able to compare apples with apples. You can't have one target in an annual performance plan, and then when you get the end result in an annual report, you're looking at something different, because then you don't know what was achieved and what was not achieved. And that the budget should reflect the priorities of government, that there should be efficient use of resources, so no wasteful and irregular, fruitless expenditure, and that the outputs were actually, that were promised, were delivered, and that there were no deviations from what they said they were going to do. And then we also look at whether they spent their resources adequately and true to their performance plans. So should a committee wish to amend the budget of a department, the Moneybills Act sets out certain phases that the committee will have to go through. And the compilation of the BRR report is the first step. It, as the report is sort of an assessment or a summary of the committee's work over the previous year, the committee then compiles the BRR and tables it in the National Assembly. The reports must be tabled in the National Assembly before the committees on appropriations, before the reports of the committee on appropriations on the medium-term budget policy statement, I'm so used to saying MTBPS, are adopted. And when those reports have been adopted by the National Assembly, the recommendations in those reports are submitted to the Minister of Finance as well as to the Minister of Science and Technology for their consideration. And here the case is, if the committee makes recommendations to amend the budget, to change a program, or to change certain performance targets that the department has set for itself, it is not explicitly stated in the Act, but it is a good idea for the committee to formally submit that report to the Standing Committee on Appropriations, because while they consider the medium-term budget policy statement, they can then already see if the recommendations with the committee is in line with what the future fiscal framework is going to be. And there we have seen that committees that have made recommendations that have been accepted had a very close relationship with the Committee on Appropriations, that they went through the process together, because the one, when there's agreement, reinforces the recommendation of the Portfolio Committee. To take it even further, we know that chairpersons of committees have even gone to the chairperson of the Standing Committee on Appropriations just to highlight the fact that this is what the committee wants to do for the department, or it can even be at committee level where there's a joint meeting, just to reinforce that we feel strongly about these recommendations and we would like to see this happen. So it strengthens the report. Should the committee feel that they want to submit additional BRR reports, they may do so for tabling in the National Assembly. If they feel that there are issues that they would like to investigate further and report on to the House, it is at the discretion of the committee to do so. So after tabling in the National Assembly, and once the report has been adopted and it has gone to the Minister of Finance formally responds to those recommendations in February of the following year, when he submits or introduces the national budget. So there the committee will see, have our recommendations been considered and accepted or rejected? And the Minister of Finance has to give reasons for accepting or rejecting recommendations of committees, and it's usually tabled in the budget review report that is introduced with the budget, the Division of Revenue Bill and the Appropriation Bill. And a separate report is also tabled in the House that gets formally referred to committees for their consideration. At this stage, if the Minister of Finance has accepted the recommendations and the budget speaks to that, then the committee has achieved what it has wanted to achieve. Should the Minister of Finance at that stage have rejected the committee's recommendations and the committee is not happy with the reasons given for the recommendations not being taken on board, the committee then may once again approach the Standing Committee on Appropriations, who at that time will be dealing and processing with the Appropriations Bill. But now, Should the Committee on Appropriations decide to propose any amendments to the appropriation bill that reflects those recommendations that the committee once followed through on, there are certain criteria that have to be met. And therefore, each amendment, those the six requirements listed on the slide, must be fulfilled. So that is, there has to be a reason for the proposed amendment. They have to show how the amendment takes account of the strategic priorities and allocations of the budget. It has to demonstrate the implications of the amendment, the impact of the amendment, and then also how the amendment relates to the strategic plans, the Auditor General reports, as well as the committee reports that have already been adopted by the National Assembly. So there becomes quite an involved, difficult process. And there is for the committee to decide if this is the route that it wants to take to reassert its recommendations. Thereafter, it's just sort of the standard procedures within the House is that if the report of the Committee on Appropriations contains any amendments, those amendments must again be submitted to the Minister of Finance and to the Minister of Science and Technology, who then have 10 days to report and provide their view on those amendments. The report of the Committee on Appropriations that then goes to the House that has any amendments must include those ministers' responses to those amendments. And if there's a feeling or if there is evidence to show that the recommendations do not fit in with the fiscal framework and what the overall budget wants to achieve, then the Committee on Appropriations must also recommend to the House that those amendments be rejected. So it does give an indication to the House as to, the recommendations right now might not be appropriate for what the national fiscus can actually cope with, or what the actual strategic ambit of the department is. And then once these have been tabled, Parliament must pass with or without amendments or reject the appropriation bill within 4 months from the start of the financial year. So that's in July, start of August. And then, just to conclude about the money bills, is that committees must annually assess performance of the department and table their BRR reports with or without recommendations, which are then submitted to the ministers. The BRR reports must, in essence, show that the extent to which the resources were used efficiently and effectively. It must summarize the key findings of the committee and make recommendations which are clear, reasonable, motivated, and have a time attached to it. The ministers must respond to the recommendations made. The committee has to track the implementation of their recommendations and the responses from the minister. And in so doing, it may engage with the Committee on Appropriations, either one, during its consideration of the MTBPS, or two, when it is considering the Appropriations Bill. So the power of the BRR lies in the fact that it can be used to amend budgets if the committee has assessed the performance adequately and has the information to substantiate its recommendations. And hence, it is very important that the annual plan of the committee reflects what it hopes to achieve and what it needs to look at and consider during its oversight process to allow it to assess the performance of the department. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Renee. Thank you for that report, and I think it is very clear. So members, that is the presentation. Welcome to the police. We've been missing you for some time, but we know that we can't stretch ourselves. We're not pick and pay rents that you can stretch them and buy even more. Welcome to the meeting. We were just listening to a report by Rene, which is about BRR, which is another new law that is giving us more powers to mainly, in fact, is calling on us to be more vigilant in oversighting the departments in a very honest, humble way with integrity, and give reasons why we think that money must be moved from here to there, or they must have more money, or they mustn't have money. And we think that we're dealing with a key department that people don't notice that it's a key department as far as transformation is concerned. Because if we're talking about a dynamic world, this is where the dynamism is. It's in science and technology. If we're talking about the economy, this is where innovations on economy are. It is in this department. If we're talking about research and development, making sure that all the policies that we make are based on research, this is the department that talks about that. But people seem not to know that fact, and it's something that we've got to take it down to the people. That's why sometimes we feel that the money that is given to this department is not enough, but we need to give more reasons to that. Members, that is the presentation. I'm not sure whether we should go to the next presentation, which is about the Auditor General, and then we can engage them on discussions later on. I depend on you to give me directions, member. What do you say? Okay, Andele.
Chair, I think we should proceed with the presentations.
Okay. I see the way the heads are coming from Honorable Matale and Honorable Kubisa. They're not moving horizontally, they're moving vertically. So suggesting that they agree with you, Annelies. If the males are agreeing, then what can I say? Okay, I'm not sure whether Auditor General is here. Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Oh,
you want to add something? Oh, okay, okay. Oh, before we go to the Auditor General, so sorry, Auditor General, let's allow Matigane to say something.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members, and everyone else. So basically, just to give effect to what Renee has just alluded to, with respect to the assessment of the performance of the department. So this presentation is all about that. But specifically looking at the assessment of performance with regards to the annual reports for 2013-2014. But Renee did say that it should be an assessment of the entire year's assessment, performance of the department, and the department has presented to the committee a couple of times. So,
is your gadget on?
It is, Chair.
Or maybe it's your voice that is
maybe
very soft.
Maybe it's not close enough.
We need to make your shop secure.
Sorry, Chair, but this is my first presentation, so please bear with me. So so all this information will go into the BRRR report. So I'll skip to the this slide, which basically talks about the oversight role of Parliament. And what I just wanted to say here is that Section 42.3 of the Constitution and Section 55.2 of the Constitution gives powers to the National Assembly to scrutinize and oversee the work of the executive through the committees, which this one is one of them. And we are, as Chair was saying earlier on, we are oversighting over the Department of Science and Technology. And Section 92.3 of the Constitution also states that the departments should account to Parliament And they do that in this case in terms of the annual reports. And also the Public Finance Management Act, which gives effect to the financial accountability of the departments. So if we look at the strategic plan of the Department of Science and Technology for 2011 to 2016, see that the department is focusing on the development of the innovation capacity of the national system of innovation, and also looking at improving the capacity of knowledge generation, human capital development, and modernization of the infrastructure for science and technology, and also making sure that South Africa is a strategic research and development destination. So the annual plan for 2013-2014 speaks to this strategic goal of the department in terms of human capital development, in terms of the exploitation and exploitation of knowledge, and also in terms of knowledge generation and the modernization of the STI infrastructure. So if we look at performance per program, if we look broadly, we know that the department has got five programs, program 1, 2, 3, and 5. Administration is the first program. If we look at the set targets, they've achieved all their targets, 100% achievement. If you look at this column here, and also if you look at international cooperation and resources, this is one program that has always performed well over the years. Also, they've achieved all their four targets. And program 4, which is human capital and knowledge systems, they've achieved 80% of their targets. And program 5, socio-economic partnerships, they've achieved 86% of their targets. The one program which seems to lag behind in terms of performance is program 2, research, development, and innovation. And this is the program that actually needs to drive this knowledge generation and knowledge exploitation agenda that the department strives to achieve. So a lot of strengthening of this program is needed. And nonetheless, the department has achieved 77% of its targets for this year, so it has improved from the previous year by 6%. So this is a great achievement. I want to look into the specific targets themselves, because the department will come and they will tell the committee about all the achievements and all the projects that they have conducted over the year, but I'll focus on the issues. With regards to administration, the department is in an enterprise risk management system, which forms the basis for or in the environment for the Enterprise Risk Management Committee, which resides within the department, and they've appointed a chief risk officer in the current financial year. And there is also an audit activity in the department, so they've got internal auditing skills within the department. However, the effectiveness of this risk management system needs to be looked at in your in the committee's deliberations with the department tomorrow, because there's a lot of irregular expenditure, as you will see in the last slide, and also the risk fraud prevention and detection plan which the department has put in place. The committee should engage the department on this plan, as it doesn't seem to be a proactive plan, so to speak. So the there's a hotline where people can phone in if they suspect any fraudulent activity, and there's also So it doesn't seem to, there's no automatic detection strategy that is there in place to look at fraud within the department. Also, if you look at the resignations in the department, out of the 427 employees, 52 employees have left the department, which is about 12% of people. And of these that have left, 30.8%, 16 of them, are due to resignation. So also, I think the committee should engage the department on its retention strategy, staff retention strategy. And also, if you look at the number of people who are leaving the department and the number of people who are being employed or who are being absorbed, there's less people absorbed than people who are leaving. So again, the recruitment strategy needs to be looked at. There's 15 people with disabilities, employees with disabilities, but it is not clear what salary scales they are at and or what professional levels these individuals fall. So that needs to be clarified. When we come to research, development, and innovation, the Meerkat dishes, the satellite dishes, 4 were meant to be installed by the end of the financial year, and only 1 was installed by the 31st of March 2014. It was mentioned that the 3 others would be installed by June, but I'm not sure if that has happened. So the committee may want to ask the department about that. And also the National Intellectual Property Management Office, it is not clear if it's properly funded. It is stated that some of the institutions, about 24 institutions, were not awarded a rebate for intellectual property prosecution and maintenance costs from the Intellectual Property Fund. So if the committee may also like to find out whether the IFMO office is properly funded. And also there were a couple of targets that were not achieved as a result of funds being diverted to the International Center for Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology. So there were some budgeting issues there, and it happened that some of the funds had to be sent to them. So, and also most of the vacancies in the department are actually in Program 2, which is the program that has difficulty in performance. So the committee may also want to have a look at that. In terms of human capital and knowledge systems, the department has put together a South African Research Infrastructure Roadmap, which is looking forward in terms of what infrastructure is needed in the country going forward to enhance the national system of innovation. And the committee may invite the department to elaborate on this, and also on the cyber infrastructure assessment report. There was a claim in the annual report that some research chairs took time to take up their positions, and that affected some targets. So also that's an area that may need to be looked at. In terms of the socio-economic partnerships, the research and development tax incentive that was introduced in 2006 with the introduction, with the amendment of Section 11D of the Income Tax Act, Act 58 of 1962, according to Justin Anderson, who is a research and development tax and incentive specialist at Colva Advisory, who has indicated to me that he's engaging with the department with regards to this, states that actually the research intensity of the country has gone down exactly at the same time as the amendment on Section 11D was introduced, which points to some of the issues that have been identified in this area, for example, backlogs in the pre-approval process for the research and development incentive. So the companies have to apply to the minister to get this incentive before they do the work. And what this company is suggesting is that the companies should start to do their research and then apply to the minister for the incentive once they know what they want to do, but before they submit the tax returns to SARS. So they think that this will prevent the backlogs and that the research and development in the private sector would improve, because the private sector is very key in bringing up the research intensity of the country. And this is one of the areas that is looked at when we are looking at the health of the performance of the national system of innovation. And also there's the issue of applications that have been rejected, not getting any feedback with respect to this tax incentive, and the committee may want to engage the department to find out whether there will be a provision for an appeal process maybe within Section 11D. If we look at entity performance, starting with the National Council on Innovation, they usually do not, they are an unlisted entity, so they fall within Program 1 of the Department of Science and Technology. And the main mandate is to advise the minister and the Minister of Technology through the minister and the minister's committee and cabinet on the role and contribution of science and technology innovation in promoting and achieving national objectives. So they've done very well this year. There is a couple of issues to consider, and the issues are related to the whole issue of taking science and technology to a higher level going forward. The recommendations of the Ministerial Review Committee, which was appointed by the Minister of Science and Technology in 2010, looking at the landscape of the South African science and technology sector and its readiness to meet the needs of the country. Two recommendations were made: that a high-level multi-stakeholder coordinating body for science, technology and innovation should be set up, and preferably this body should be chaired by the Deputy President, to show the seniority and the importance of science and technology in driving the economy. And this resonates with some of the comments that have been given. For example, Dr. Lennon, the outgoing chairman of NACI, says in his statement, "We believe that innovation should be the centerpiece of the economic agenda in South Africa and every developing nation. So it is important to have an innovation agenda in the macroeconomic planning of the country going forward." and also Professor Skerry, who is a senior fellow at the Institute for Economic Research and Innovation and a professor of economics, also says that the lack of coordination in the national system of innovation is as a result of the parallel neoliberal macroeconomic planning in South Africa in the 1990s. So from his perspective, the national system of innovation planning or the innovation planning for the country and the macroeconomic planning shouldn't have been separate. They shouldn't have been parallel. Science and technology should have been the key driver of the economic planning of South Africa going forward. I can say more on that later. It would be a good idea for the committee to find out whether the president had been alerted to this recommendation and whether the deputy president knows about this recommendation, one of the ministerial review. And also, the recommendation that NACI itself should be reformed into an Office of Innovation Policy, rather. Okay, having said that, the allocation for NACI doesn't seem sufficient, maybe a question would be whether NACI is not constrained in its capacity with the budget that it gets. So again, budgeting issue coming into play. I will skip the rest of those and go into TIA in the interest of time. So the Technology Innovation Agency was established to stimulate and intensify technological innovation and improve economic growth and the quality of life of all South Africans. Out of 29 performance targets, 24 were achieved, which gives an 83% achievement for 2013-2014. Still a good achievement, even though it's slightly less than what they achieved last year. And there's a whole lot of issues for TIA. I won't go through all of them in the interest of time. But I think one key issue is related to vacancies at TIA. The vacancy rate is high, and the vacancies are concentrated in the office of the chief operating officer with 21 vacancies of the 73 that are available, that are vacant. And most of the terminations of employment are as a result of resignations. Again, resignations. So there seems to be an issue there. It has come to our attention through the Mail and Guardian that TIA is retrenching or planning to retrench about a third of its employees. And it's not clear whether this is as a result of the reduced funding to TIA, but the interim CEO has said that it's not the case, the case of efficiency, that they are cutting down on most of the management positions. Having more money available for the research and development. So that also needs to be looked at. There's more issues for TIA. For example, the company called Adept Airmotive, which is an aircraft engine design company, went into liquidation, and they are blaming TIA of not dispersing the funds on time, which led to them going under. So it may be in the interest of the committee to have a look exactly at what is going on there in terms of the management of these portfolios at TIA. And TIA is spending a lot of money on consultants. Of the 27 million that the department has mentioned in the annual report, 24 million seems to come from TIA. Going to the HSRC, the Human Science Research Council, which was set to conduct research that serves the public and contributes towards good governance and public service delivery and help address the challenges of poverty and inequality, all of the 36 targets, 26 were achieved. So this is a 72.2% achievement. Again, slightly less than what they had last year, but it's still good enough. There has been a mention of budget constraints with regards to a number of titles that are published, and also the target that relates to the interns appointed at HSRC was revised up, and as a result, they didn't meet it. And it may be a good idea to look at how these targets are set within these entities. Are they setting targets too high for themselves or sometimes too low in the case of TIA, as you can see? I'm not sure. So it may be a good idea for the committee to engage the entities on that. And the council is struggling to secure contract funding for research grants. That also needs to be looked at. If we go to SANSA, SANSA has achieved 28 out of the 33 targets. Again, slightly less, but good enough. And the CEO of SANSA mentioned that delivering performance while balancing cost containment with capacity constraints, again, seems to be an issue of funding and having the entity having to balance cost containment with capacity. So again, that's another issue that the committee may want to have a look at. SANSA is also struggling to get people from designated groups in management positions. It may be interesting to have a look at why is that the case. Again, the vacancy rate at SANSA is quite high, so it would be interesting to look at their retention strategy. If we're looking at the CSIR, the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research, which conducts multidisciplinary research and technological innovation to contribute to the improvement of the quality of life of the people of the Republic. Of the 16 targets, 12 were achieved, 75% achievement. Again, slightly less than the previous years, but again, good enough. The Minister of Science and Technology states that the CSIR's track record of the scientific and administrative excellence must now be even more translated into actions that address our national priorities of reducing inequality, poverty, and unemployment. So the committee may want to engage the CSIR on what the minister has just said in the annual report as to how the CSIR will align its work with the National Development Plan. And also the chief executive officer of the CSIR says, therefore, the question of how we allocate our resources will become even more critical. And it may be interesting to engage the CSIR on that. Also, whether the resources are being used effectively to to achieve the goals that the department has set itself to achieve. If we look at the National Research Foundation, things don't look that great. Of the 49 targets which I've selected from the RISA program, which is the grant generating program, and the National Research Facilities Program, these two programs are very key in driving human capital development and also in the whole issue of the infrastructure modernization and development. So their annual report was not that conducive to analysis, but I've chosen these two sections because of their importance, and they've only achieved 53% of their targets, and 65% was achieved in the previous year, so this needs to be looked at. Inconsistency in the reporting makes assessment tedious, and the chairman of the National Research Foundation has mentioned again the whole issue of funding, baseline funding, that is not in line with inflation. So again, the committee may want to engage the NRF as to whether they're properly funded. If you look at the value of the grants that they have given, it's one of the targets that they haven't achieved, that the grants that they have given out were less than the value that they've targeted for this, for the previous financial year. So which may point to an issue with funding. Now the last entity, which is the Academy of Sciences of South Africa, in the previous year and in this year, they reporting of in their annual report is not in line with their annual performance plan, and ASAP needs to be engaged in this because it makes it difficult for the assessment of the performance, which is key for the BRRR process to happen. So in the coming years, they need to report exactly as they have planned in their annual performance plan. So I don't have any data for them. The audit opinions will be given by the AG, and this is just the last slide looking at the financial performance of all the entities in the department, looking at where they are exactly. And I won't go through the whole slide, but I will point to the column here, which shows the surplus or deficit for all the entities. You could see that after DST has received money from National Treasury and they transferred the monies to the entities, they were left with 32 million. NACI was left with 719,000 because of the vacancy in the CEO position for quite a number of years. HSRC, 2 million. TIA is on the negative, so again, which points to an issue of possibly funding. The committee may want to find out whether it's a funding issue or was it due to the governance issues that the agency has had recently, which have been sorted with the new board and the new CEO and the new CFO. So that needs to be unpacked. Why are they on a deficit? But all the other agencies have got surpluses. Whether these surpluses have been committed in terms of research agreements and other things that these agencies spend on, again, it's something that the committee may want to engage with the agencies in this process of trying to get more funding for the department. So they need to explain what is these surpluses for. Are they going to spend them on something? And why do they need more money? And what do they need the money for? If you look at irregular expenditure, it's usually related to supply chain management issues, which the committee needs to engage the entities, and also the fruitless and wasteful expenditures related to interest on pay-as-you-earn and on certain accounts. But it's minimal. But the committee may also want to engage the agencies on why do they have fruitless and wasteful expenditure on interests, on pay-as-you-earn. So in conclusion, overall, performance has improved. However, the research and development and innovation program needs to be looked at, and most vacancies are in this program that also needs to be investigated. The NRF struggles to meet targets related to the number of blacks and women supported in terms of grant funding and funding for postgraduate studies. Several entities mentioned funding constraints and cost containment measures. Are they underfunded? What is the issue? TIA has a deficit, and is it because of underfunding or poor management in the past? And they have a very high vacancy rate. It may be a good idea for the committee to engage them on the retrenchment issue. And also the NRF has mentioned the issue of the baseline funding that is not in line with inflation for several years. And also in closing, given this performance, financial performance and performance of in terms of targets, the committee may want to engage the department as to why do they need more funding and for what activities, and the agencies that mentioned cost containment measures and constraints or issues with funding need to explain exactly whether they need more funding and for what. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm hoping that you distributed that document of yours. If it has not been distributed, I would request that sometime today all the members should have it, especially that we're going to be meeting the department tomorrow. And then subsequently it's going to be the entities. So we need to have had a look at that report. The person who was presented, Mr. Mtigane, is the researcher. We also talked about Mtigane. He is the researcher, so he's just giving us an overview as to what's happening in the department, especially that we are new in the department. We have taken it footstools from those who were before us. So some of the things one might not be aware of, but he's given us an overview. And there are certain things, and we are talking about the BRR, where we want to amend the money bill. But if we amend it, we want to see a department that would be able to use that money that we want. Now, you find situations where it's funding versus performance. You find in situations where the performance is not what they plan to have done. But at the same time, they say we want more funding. you're not sure whether is it the funding that made them not to perform, or it's because there's incapacity that made them do it. Now it becomes very difficult to say give them more money when they get choked. They can't use the money properly. So these are the things that we're going to find out from them. I'm not sure whether members want to ask, or later on you'd want to ask, but he was just giving us an overview of what's happening in the department. And most of the questions that are supposed to be coming out of his presentation must go directly to the department and the entities. I think if we could record them, that's why I want that document to be circulated today, so that you can be armed as to what you're going to be doing to the the entities and the department.
Chair, I've sent three documents, the analysis of the department, NACI and TIA, and the rest of them are in this presentation, and I will also forward it to the member.
Okay. Thanks, Matiga.
Thanks.
I fully agree with how you summed. I just wanted to request, if possible, that because some of the slides and the input, you know, if you get the slide and you were not part of the input, sometimes you might not be able to. So if you can just put a bit of flesh to some of the slides there, because, you know, what was presented there was projected there, and the presentation, it can be very, very helpful. But, you know, it was a very insightful presentation. Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. Matiga. I hope you are getting what it's saying, Matiga.
Yes, Chair.
Yeah, because you were talking to points that you have written there. Now, there was some flesh that you are putting in as you were talking. This is the interest that flesh should come up to, so that we could analyze it quite well.
Chair, what I'll do is that in each of the issues, I'll put the page number of the annual report. Maybe that will help.
Okay.
No?
No, we'll assist each other. If you give us the report, we'll assist each other so that the members could get, because there's a lot of flesh that you gave in, which is not on the slides. You would put a point of NACI, but you'll add something. This is what Honorable Matale is saying, that flesh that you are putting is not recorded there. So if we get the document, we would have forgotten, and look at our ages. Some of us are very old now, we forget it. So we need those points so that we could think about them. Okay, I hope you're getting what I'm trying to say. Director Bill?
No, thanks, Cheryl. It's such a good presentation. And I was just wondering whether we're going to get a hard copy as well.
Okay. This is what we're asking
you. All right, thanks. I'm also appealing that you add that flesh as well.
You can see the members here are carnivores. They want flesh. They're not herbivores, they're carnivores. They want flesh, as long as they can get flesh. But I'm hoping it's the flesh that they want. It's not what the kids are saying. You know, we are trying to talk about HIV and AIDS, but some kids, they say, no, flesh to flesh. I don't think they mean that. Okay. Members, can I request that? I'm told that AG has got to connect their gadgets to the parliamentary gadgets. So maybe let's use that time to have tea for 10 minutes while they're helping them to connect, and then we can restart again.